The Earth erupted in an explosion that could be heard over 200 miles away. But to many of the Washington locals, it wasn't the column of lava or ash that scared them the most, but rather the winged beast that blast supposedly released. But before we begin, if you love cryptids and want to learn the full story, both the legends and the facts delivered as a narrative story, then this guided tour is for you. Fly on over and land on that subscribe, like, or review button, depending on where you watch or listen. Now, keep trying to start that ignition and get ready. The tour is about to start. I'm Cody, and you're touring Cryptids Across the Atlas. It was like hell on Earth, in the most traditional sense you can imagine. Sulfuric gases plumed into the air as the ash column, over 80,000 feet tall, engulfed the sky. Molten rocks mixed with surface water combined and cascaded down, consuming thousands of acres of trees in their fiery path. The previous set of subsequent eruptions had weakened her north face to the point of catastrophic failure, and when she failed spectacularly. On May 18, 1980, Mount St. Helens, steaming from the recent string of earthquakes, couldn't handle the pressure any longer. The eruption, equivalent to 26 megatons of TNT, shrouded the land in a Dante-esque shroud of molten ash, sending mudslides over 50 miles. Oh, and for some perspective, 26 megatons is 500 times more powerful than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. And yes, I said 500. The blast left 110,000 acres of land destroyed. Ash was found covering car windows across 11 states. The mountain herself was lowered by 1,300 feet, losing the ladder across the landscape in the explosion, and 57 people tragically lost their lives. The explosion of Mount St. Helens was, and still is, the most deadly and most economically destructive eruption in American history. I recall hearing my great aunt and uncle recite stories of watching it rain ash for days at their Spokane residence. Heck, we still have a bottle of the ash in storage at my parents' house they sent us right after the event happened. It was kind of a running joke in the family, as my grandmother's name is Helen and her sister, my great aunt, often joked of how Helen finally blew up, but I digress. But if tales are true, the eruption of Mount St. Helens released more than just molten rock and ash into those Washington State mountains. Because not long after the ash and smoke began to clear, a new form began to fill the sky with terror. But this form was not made of soot, but rather dark hair, sharp teeth, and large leathery wings. Not long after the rupture of Mount St. Helens, odd sightings begin to fill the evening sky. Talk of a large, thunderbird-like creature with cascading black wings began to trickle in. Murmurs, really, just word of mouth. Nothing anyone was brave enough to report to any papers or news agencies, it seems, as I was unable to trudge up any official documentation from that time. But the locals swear that back then, they saw it. When St. Helens blew, she released that thing out of its earthly prison. Luckily, sightings of this strange, dark, winged beast quickly diminished. No one ever got that close to get a good look at it. It was just another crazy event in an earth-bending reality they had all just witnessed and lived to tell about. But just because sightings faded as quick as they came, doesn't mean the peace would last forever. Teen-year-old Brian Canfield was driving home late that Saturday night, alone on that back road highway that teetered through the foothills of Mount Rainier. But as he made yet another bend on that twisting highway, his dash lights clicked off, and without applying his brakes, his pickup sputtered to a halt. "Is that the smell of gasoline?" Brian thought to himself. He'd been having some minor issues with his carburetor. Engine must be flooded again, he thought. Brian looked out his window, recognizing the break in the forest to his left and the recently harvested field to his right. He'd done this drive for the last few years, seen these hills over and over again, but this time, something was a bit off. Out in the distance, he noticed something descending into his headlights, still ablaze by the truck battery. It looked like bird feet, but the claws and sheer size of them. No, that couldn't be a bird, could it? But as Brian contemplated what he saw, the silhouette flew closer and descended further into his field of view, and what Brian described next was anything but the ordinary. It crashed to the earth directly in front of him, just 30 or so feet away. It landed hard as its wings cascaded down around, if almost to absorb the impact. Then, this 9-foot-tall behemoth rose up and locked eyes with Brian as he clutched the wheel, praying his truck would just start. It was just standing there, staring at me, Brian later told C.R. Roberts, journalist for the News Tribune. The creature stood 9 feet tall, hair glowing a faint grayish blue in the moonlight. Its eyes were like yellow reflectors with pupils like a half moon, and its head was like that of a wolf. Teeth, tufted ears, and all. And those wings, they looked just like the wings of a bat, only much, much larger. Large enough to span the entire roadway, tip to tip. It then just stood perfectly still, eyes locked with his, as if it was staring right through him. I was scared. It raised the hair on me, Brian recounted. I didn't feel threatened. I just felt out of place. After several long minutes, Brian stated how the creature began to twitch its fingers, unfold its wings, shook its head, then turned to look back at him. It was like it was resting, and now it was time for it to be off. The creature began to flap its wings and rose out of Brian's headlights, flapping off back toward Mount Rainier. After just a minute or two, Brian's engine sprung back to life all on its own, like it had never died at all. Brian sped home to tell his parents, but after returning with a firearm and flashlight, he and his father could find no trace of the monster Brian's friends would later refer to as the Bat Squatch. But that didn't change what Brian experienced. I'm not really into this stuff, Brian told reporters. It boggled my mind really hardcore. I really can't explain it. It's weird, definitely weird. I don't like it. Usually this stuff happens to someone else. It seems that all the old stories weren't just post-tragedy hearsay after all, because at least to Brian, those sightings 14 years prior were a lot more plausible than he'd previously had cared to believe. The Washington Bat Squatch is an interesting cryptid to track down. Many of our tales here on Cryptids Across the Atlas seem to stem from the early days of yellow journalism, that period of time before the television, where sensationalist news articles were often crafted from more normal events to drum up sales. Oh, and just a quick study tip, yellow journalism is a term meaning articles written in a hyper-sensationalist way, often bending the truth or fabricating events altogether to garner attention. Actually, that sounds pretty similar to modern news too, but I digress. But the Bat Squatch, well, it has its roots in more modern times. That detailed description we just covered, well, it happened in 1994, which in the canon of cryptids is relatively recent by comparison. And sightings still extend into the last few years, some of which we're still going to cover in this episode. Heck, even look at the name Brian's friends coined for the creature, the Bat Squatch. Part Batman, part Sasquatch, all pop culture. By the 1990s, cryptids were already in people's minds, so to have an experience like this in our modern world, well, to me at least, I could see how this would snowball into a tale that our current understandings of reality couldn't contain. And if I'm being honest, I don't, nor have I found any decent, natural, possible explanations for what Brian saw. Multiple reports swear Brian was a straight-edge kid. The news article went as far as to call out his strict lack of drug and alcohol use, as well as his down-to-earth demeanor. Heck, they even go on record saying Brian had never participated in a D&D session. That's Dungeons & Dragons for those who don't run in fantasy circles. That to say, I don't think Brian made this up. Now sure, it could have been a bear and his headlights just so happened to have rounded the hill and caught it on an odd angle to make it look like it descended, and maybe it was up on 2 feet and some trees could have made it look like it had wings, and well, obviously I'm stretching here. Or maybe it was an owl. I mean, isn't it always an owl? The skeptical side of me even wants to draw conclusions to the 1994 movie Wolf, starring Jack Nicholson. I mean, the poster does show Nicholson with glowing yellow eyes, similar to what Brian described. Maybe this was a large animal like a bear, and it being late, Brian assimilated that movie to the creature? Couple that with a well-timed engine problem, and there's your bat squatch. Problem is, that movie wouldn't have come out for another 2 months in June. I mean, Brian, being 18 at the time, I am sure had gone and seen some movies lately with his friends, and maybe there was a poster or a preview before the showing of the movie they were seeing, but once again, kind of a big stretch. But on the other hand, flying creatures like this bat squatch have been talked about by the natives long before we called the United States, well, the United States. I mean, we've had run-ins with other similar cryptids before. Cryptids like the Jersey Devil, Mothman, and notably, the Coney Island Flying Man of 1880. Or, if you want to go to Indonesia, the Orang Bhati. So, maybe this is all real. Brian seemed to have become an overnight believer, despite the mocking jests he received from some of his classmates. But in Brian's defense, he wasn't the first to see this Pacific Northwest phenomena, and he certainly wasn't the last. Throughout the years, sightings of a large bat-like creature have been sighted across Washington and into neighboring northwestern states. After Brian's sighting, a local liquor store owner, Butch Whitaker, stepped forward and recounted how around that same time, he witnessed the bat squatch when he was out on a midday flight. He had taken up his private plane for some weekend sightseeing when he witnessed a similar creature tail him for a handful of minutes before flying off, just a few short miles from Brian's supposed sighting location. In 2009, near Mount Shasta, California, a group of hikers claimed to have witnessed a large leathery-winged creature take flight out of a hilltop cave. The monster had wings like a bat, spanning an estimated 50 or so feet in length, and had a head similar to that of a fox or a fox bat. And again, in June of 2011, a Washington resident was walking his dog around in his yard for his late-night business. After lifting the small dog to head back inside, he noticed something in the sky overhead. "I saw something flying in the sky," the man, who wishes to remain anonymous, claimed. "It had bat wings, blue fur, and had a face like a wolf, with eyes glowing red. It was about 9 feet tall at least. After I watched it, it just flew away." So, other than a Washington local brew and a Mount St. Helens legend, what could the bat squatch be? Could a winged werewolf-like man have been loosed from that cataclysmic eruption back in 1980? Were there ever tales of such a beast, or was it all just exaggeration until that sighting in 1994? Is our beloved Mothman suffering a chronic case of clinical lycanthropy? And what of these flying monsters dating back to before our modern records? Maybe there really is a blue-haired and yellowed-eyed giant resting on roads and roosting in the mountains of Washington State. Or maybe it's just a really big owl. A really, really big owl. Honestly, after hearing Elaine's tale of the Chickcharnie a few episodes back, I think I'd rather take my chances with the bat squatch. If you love cryptids and want to learn even more about the creatures we just talked about, find us on TikTok or Instagram. Just search username @thecryptidatlas. By the way, the episode you just witnessed is both a podcast and YouTube video, so whichever format you prefer, we have you covered. Also, check out our interactive cryptid map to browse the globe and learn about cryptids from your favorite areas. Every single episode we make adds another pin to our map. You can find our social channels, the map, and more at thecryptidatlas.com. And when you find us, be sure to tap that follow button and get in on the action by dropping a comment on our recent videos. If you enjoy this show, consider sharing it on with a friend. And if you listen on Apple or Spotify, consider leaving an honest review to help other listeners know what to expect. Thanks for touring cryptids across the Atlas. Until next time, keep your eyes open. You never know what you might see just on the edge of the road.